Good Sunday morning and welcome to Your Life, Your Money here with Kelvin the Money Guy. I am Chris Creston, and if you need to get a hold of Kelvin the Money Guy, if you want to get a hold of Kelvin the Money Guy, if you think that you may down the road want to get a hold of Kelvin the Money Guy, just write this number down, 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN, or you can visit his website, askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. You click on the schedule a call link and you pick a time and date of your choosing that works for you when you can sit down and have a chat with Kelvin the Money Guy about anything that's going on. Maybe, you know what, you need a second opinion. Maybe you don't have an advisor. Maybe you've been working with an app and you're thinking, you know what, I don't know how I feel about the robots handling my money anymore. I need to talk to a real person. That's something we're going to be talking about here today. But first, I should introduce Kelvin the Money Guy. How are you doing this Sunday?
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, I'm good. How are you keeping?
Good, good. Can't complain. You know, it's a weekend. So how can we possibly complain?
Right here. We got a big day. We got a big day tomorrow. The eclipse.
That's right. Got to get ready. I have not procured any glasses. I thought I had a good lead on eclipse glasses, but they fell through on me. So I'm just going to have to close my eyes and imagine what must
like,
be going on.
It looks like the weather might be cloudy, though, I think.
Yeah.
It might be cloudy.
So. Oh, which would be a huge bust for everyone who's prepared and planned and traveled to just to see this thing. Once in a lifetime opportunity for so many people.
Yeah, true, eh? Huh. Well, I guess I'm sure everything will work out well.
Either way.
So, yeah, I thought for this topic we talk about millennials. You know, there's always chat about millennials and there's a lot of misconceptions about them, right? Namely, they eat avocado and toast. You know, they're always on the social media obsessed generation. And really, when you think about it, I don't think they are.
I'm going to interrupt and let you know that we do, as a millennial, we do eat avocado on our toast. So that's definitely happening.
No wonder the price is so high.
Yes.
So what I'm finding in our world, in our money world, is that they're coming back to the advisors, to us, the human guy, rather than the robo. And there's it's not just only here. It's a global study that was found that 40% of millennials are turning to advisors, while only 7% are using the automated advice. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. And when you really think about common sense, it really tells you why. So the millennial was born in 1981 to 1996. So those people are, you know, 28 to like 43, 44 years old. Right, the Gen X is the 1965 to 1980, and those people are 44 to 59. So the millennials, I guess if they want a clue what their lives is going to look like when they're 59, 60, is see what the Gen X people did and see what they didn't do and maybe make a correction if you think something went wrong. So use them as a clue to where you're going. So now a new report suggests that, you know, that these guys, these millennial people, are getting married, they're building careers, and they're amassing wealth. So millennials now are seeking professional advice over robo, because the robo doesn't give you any feelings. It doesn't give you any tax planning. It doesn't tell you anything. And it's an algorithm that tells you what you want to hear, right? So now think of a 45-year-old person, you know, wife and husband or whatever, kids. Right? One or two kids, maybe. You know, you got your mortgage. You got your minivan. Well, no, you don't buy minivans anymore. That was the Gen X's. You buy like your SUV.
It's an SUV.
Car seats.
It's an SUV that's actually a minivan. Let's be serious. If it's got three rows, it's a van.
Yeah. So that's what's happening now. So that the millennials now is becoming real people, meaning that real life issues. Mortgages, you know, planning for retirement, going to plan for these kids now when they get to go to school, who's going to pay for it? So a lot of things that are happening, you know, that they're going to need us rather than algorithms to figure out their lives. So they say 9 in 10 millennials say they trust their advisor for more reliable information, while only 1/4 trust social media. Because again, the social media just kind of tells you things that nobody knows who put it there. It's some guy that just said something and everybody caught on to it, right? So I think they want personal advice, related to the millennial life, because now they're getting married later, like they're getting married later in life. And some of them have multiple sources of income. So how is my income taxed? All that kind of stuff that the robo don't really tell you. So they're switching back to the old guys like us to find out what should they do. And really, I always say us advisors really give you experiences of others so that in 10 years, 5, 10, 15 years from now, you didn't make the same mistakes that they did. So when you think of guy of like advisors that look like us has been in this for 30 years, the millennial is getting 30 years of experience of things that they should do and things that they shouldn't do. You only live once, so enjoy your life as well, but plan out for down the road. So the North American millennials is now interested in financial planning rather than just buying a stock here and there and getting on this all these things that you hear, no fees and things like that. And I think the millennial is now realizing that there's a fee to everything. Nothing is free. You're going to pay some type of fee somewhere along the line. So you might as well get proper advice from a real life person. I know AI, ChatGPT is taking over the world, but not when it comes to money. Not yet, anyhow, right? So I guess millennials, they think about risk differently from advisors. And what I mean by that is 14% of millennials think about risk of underperforming the markets, whereas 7% of advisors think the same. Further, 11% of millennials think of risk in terms of not meeting my goals, and 24% of advisors feel that way. So it looks like we're trying to have people in general, whoever you are, whatever age you may be, achieve your goals, whatever they may be. And sometimes you got to turn around and take a step backwards before you go forward, because life could throw things at you that you didn't really count on. For example, health issues, maybe a parent, because if you're in your 40s, your parents are maybe in their 70s or 80s, and maybe they have health issues, maybe you have to go into a home. So a lot of things that they never used to think about that you have to think now. So real life has hit the millennials, and that's where the rubber meets the road. And I think that's why they're coming back to us.
I think that's, and when you say us,
Advise.
you mean advisors, live human
Yes.
flesh and
Yeah.
blood advisors, and not just some app that's helping them gamify their investments. And when I say
Exactly.
them, I should be saying ours, because I myself am a millennial, born in 85, and now everything that you described, from the mortgage to the kids, everything, if I can borrow a phrase from the Gen Zs, it hits different. It hits different when you've got little eyes and little hands and little feet and little stomachs to fill, and you start to think about the repercussions of everything that you do. And if you're investing on an app that feels like a game, it used to be fun, and maybe you get a little dopamine rush when you see your balance go up, but if it goes down, it means so much more when you have a family, and it means so much more when you get closer to retirement. Even if you don't have kids and you're thinking about, okay, things are getting real, I got to figure out how I'm going to,
Of
survive
course.
and how I'm going to keep moving forward. I need real advice from someone who's been there before.
And the thing is, over the last 10 years or so, a lot of these millennials have been investing in, and Gen X's, I guess, in ETFs, passive money. Because the last 10 years, things have done well. The last little while, it didn't look so. But the markets have done well. And I think passive investments is what they wanted to do. And that's why these index funds became such a big top seller in the markets, the low fees and all that kind of stuff,
Do you mind
right?
quickly explaining to the audience who may hear things like ETF and not necessarily understand what it is? What is that when you hear that?
So those are electronically traded funds, meaning it's the robots, the computer is doing it for you, right? And they buy the whole index, and so you go up and down with the index. In the last little while, passive, meaning there's nothing for you to do. In the Warren Buffett days, it was buy and sell and hold and that kind of stuff. Now it's come back to the same thing where it's active money, meaning you have to trade the money actively because the markets turn. I mean, if you look at last week, it was a bad week, but the week prior to that was a record-breaking week. So if you're just holding passive money, you're not taking advantage of things. I'm not telling people to go and invest their own money because that's the last thing you want to do because all your emotions will get in and you'll lose all your money. Make sure the holdings that you have are, well thought out managers that actively trade the account when they see fit, not when you see fit. So those are some of the things that active and passive money is all about: ETFs, mutual funds, seg funds. So be mindful of where you are. I'm not saying not to buy them. I'm saying maybe you want to have a mixture of both. And again, like everything else, you want to plan out what you want to do. Maybe after the break, I'll maybe actually touch on that a little bit. What millennials' expectation of the rate of return is.
Talking about that and a whole lot more when it comes to investing. If you're a millennial, if you love one, if you're just someone who is has been, using a lot of technology for your investments, but you need to hear a human voice and you need to have that human experience, call Kelvin the Money Guy, 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN, or go to his website, askkelvin.ca. That's ask. KELVIN.ca. Click on the schedule a call link and talk to a real flesh and blood person. Don't ask Google, ask Kelvin, askkelvin.ca. Stay tuned for a whole lot more of your life, your money here with Kelvin the Money Guy on 640 Toronto. Welcome back to Your Life, Your Money here on 640 Toronto. Thank you so much for making us part of your Sunday. Don't forget to visit Kelvin's website, askkelvin.ca. That's ask KELVIN.ca, or you can give him a call on the phone at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. And I know as a millennial, the thought of picking up the phone and actually calling someone can be anxiety-inducing, but I promise you, Kelvin is a guy who will put you at ease and make you feel comfortable. And if you need, want to put it in your calendar, go to askkelvin.ca, click on the schedule a call link, and book a time and date of your choosing so you can psych yourself up a little bit for the call. I kid because I love and because I am a millennial. And we've been talking a little bit today about millennial investors. What makes them different? Where we are in a time in your life, in a time in the world where, we need to sort of take a little glance away from the robo-investor and more millennials looking towards a real flesh and blood person like Kelvin the Money Guy to help manage their money.
Yeah, and like I say, I think they're becoming more about, these fee things. Like, they're beginning to understand that they have to pay for things. It's not free anymore, and advice is not free. You have to pay an arm and a leg, but at least you have to kind of know where you're going. And a lot of millennials, what I find is their expectation for returns is quite crazy. They looked at the booming markets over the last decade, and I think in their mind somehow they think a 16% return is normal, but it's not, because the history of the market tells you it's about a 9 to 10. So I don't know where they get this from, but again, it's from not knowing and not reading and just listening to Google and all these kind of things that happens, right? So that's one thing. Given that, they may find themselves overexposed to potential risk and could get caught by a surprise if the markets go rocky, right? So you can't mess with your life. The last, your millennials that are in your 40s or 30s, 28 to 43, you can't live the next 10 to 20 years of your life like you did the past 10, 20 years, because now you have kids, now you have a mortgage, maybe you're divorced, maybe, I don't know. And I thought, I'd bring on a guest, and my guest clients that are listening know who the guest is, and it's Hillary. And I just wanted her to tell you from a female's perspective as a millennial, what does she see from her point of view?
Yeah, Hillary McLean works in Kelvin's office and makes everything work in Kelvin's office.
I try.
And is the helpful hand to make sure that everything stays on track. And Hillary, thanks so much for making some time here to help
Thank
give
you.
Your perspective on this.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Us millennials, I mean, that term seems like we're just so young, but we're getting old. We're getting up there. So really, what's the most important thing for us to do right now is get some professional advice. We can't just wing it anymore. Right now, we're the elder millennials, you and I, unfortunately, they call us that, Chris. But we're starting to have kids, get married. We don't have time to mess around anymore. And I think in the past 5 years, really kind of when COVID started, people had nothing to do. So a lot of them did their own research and thought, okay, I can be a professional advisor. I could go onto these robo advisor websites and research and learn for myself. But unfortunately, that is really risky. And I think we all know now that we have to be very selective about the information that we believe online. We are the first generation that even had this available to us. We remember what it's like to not have internet, and we're the first generation to have access to information in the way that we did before. Our parents couldn't just go online and see what to do and where to invest. So that's very good. Access to information is really good, but it's also really dangerous. And we know anybody could open up an Instagram website, or anyone could open up a podcast, say whatever they want to say. And it's kind of dangerous if you don't have financial literacy. So we're noticing, luckily, that there's a lot of millennials that are reaching out to Kelvin and trying to set themselves up and have professional guidance, just like anything else in life. You can't, wing it for a medical procedure. So why would you want to do that for your money? Because it really is your lifestyle and the quality of life that you'll end up with.
Yeah, Hillary, I can sort of look at it from my own perspective. My life has completely changed in the last 5 years. In the 5 years that we've been doing the show, I was living downtown, just a dinks, double income, no kids, my wife and I, and did not, if you won a few, if you lost a few, it didn't really matter so much. But then all of a sudden, when you've got kids and a big mortgage and all the sort of trappings that come with that, things get real. Things get real really fast. Do you feel like, in the life of a millennial, the last 5 years have been really important and have really changed?
Yeah, well, think about it too. Like 5 years ago, if you were to have gotten a mortgage in 2020, I know myself, I did. What you're looking at for a price point compared to what's happening now, or what people will be renewing into in the next coming years, is very, very different. Plus, we're living in a cost of living crisis right now. Groceries are extremely expensive. So the amount of disposable income that we have right now, especially, so even with the like dinks, as you say, even they're struggling. Imagine when you add children, mortgages, and just life goals. You don't want to just sit at home every weekend watching Netflix. Like Kelvin says, you have to live your life and enjoy your life, and that requires planning sometimes.
Yeah, you want to take
So
those little kids on a vacation. So, and guess what?
absolutely.
Daycare doesn't do if you take a week off. They don't
Yeah.
give you the money back. So.
Exactly. So it's really, really crucial to have a professional on your side to guide you on how to navigate these challenging times. I mean, hopefully we won't be here for too much longer. I mean, the horizon, the interest rates drops are on the horizon, hopefully. And hopefully things will change. But as of now, you really do need somebody to guide you, because this is people's lives. It gets very scary.
And, Kelvin, what do you think, for millennials, what do you think is on the horizon for the next 5 years? The changes that are going to be happening not only in the world, but also in their lives that maybe we need to be thinking about.
Yeah, so when you think of the next 5, 10 years, they're going to be what, 47, 50 something, right? And one of the problems is the oldest millennials, will be entering middle age. So retirement is going to be a greater priority for them. And many of them, more than three in four, say they're responsible for funding their own retirement. While almost half believe they'll never have enough to retire. And the reason there is because their parents and grandparents had very nice pension plans, deferred profit sharing, all that kind of stuff. So when they retired, they had great pensions like Omers and teachers' pensions and all that kind of stuff, GM pensions. I have clients that have their pensions from GM, from the TTC, and so on. Great pensions will last forever and ever and ever. The millennials don't have that because the companies stop doing that, right? So because it's too expensive. So those are some of the things that they need to sit and put pen to paper and figure out for themselves and get an advisor, not just me. There's lots of advisors. Find one and chart out where you're going. Remember, there's 9.5 million individuals, or I should say 27% of the population are millennials. So they just overpass the Gen X's or the baby boomers, I should say. So they're taking over. Millennials, like I said, have recently become the largest percentage within the workforce. And many in this group, will also be the recipients of wealth coming down in the years into the decades, because our parents are in their 80s, some in their 90s, and they've built a great amount of wealth through sacrifice in their years, in their younger years. And that money will be coming down to them. So what has to happen to the millennial is, a lot of changes will happen to them personally and professionally. And they'll have greater financial independence. So it's important to zero in on the value of practical, like Hillary said, practical financial management skills, and get some financial literacy there. Pick up the phone and call your advisor. Or if you're in your 40s, 30s, 40s, and you don't have one, reach out to someone. Give us a call. Go on my website and book a time where we can chat about your money. You don't have to do what we say, but just be aware of some of the things that you're going to face in the next 10 to 15 years. And I tell you, 10 years goes by fast, man. I didn't realize till Hillary said that we've been doing this show for 5 years. And look how long 5 years is. It's like it's snapped by, right? So time flies. So we'll talk about maybe after, some of the points to consider for millennials, some of the things that they should know about and really, think about. Maybe you can't do it now, but maybe in the next 5 years, 10 years from now, it'll help you to think forward, right? And remember, think of you, Chris. Your kids are what, 3 years old now, maybe?
Almost,
Three,
almost.
four?
Yeah, 3 in October.
Yeah. So another couple of years, kindergarten, maybe real school. I don't know. Costs for that, as you probably know how much it is. And then not only that, in 12 years from now or 15 years from now, school, college, university, if they're still around, how we know it. You're going to have to pay for it. So how am I going to do all these things? So you need to look back and see, what did my parents do? How did they put us through university? How did they pay off their mortgage? How did they buy cars and stuff like that? Now, mind you, they didn't have to buy cell phones for us. They didn't have to buy internet. We had one channel, now we have 900.
You know what?
That
And
was something
I
they didn't
think
have
that's
to buy.
something, speaking to what Hillary was saying, and Hillary, maybe if you have any thoughts on this, when we were growing up, you mentioned that we were the last generation to grow up without the internet and without all these things. And you think about what our parents' bills were, right? You know what? You had the phone bill. Maybe you had a cable bill. That's it. Maybe like now you've got not just your internet bills at home, but also a phone bill for every single body in the house. Our demands are so much higher than they used to be, and you know what? Kids don't want some old phone; they want a new phone. The change and transition has been crazy for our generation.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It's just a different world. You can't function without your phone. You can't function without a really good phone plan, and that adds up. I mean, I think we have the highest in the world or something crazy like that. So yeah, I mean, we do have a lot of expenses just to live our life, and that's why it's extremely crucial for us to figure that out and what the best financial plan would be for us. Because when we're in a time that things are the most expensive they've ever been, including groceries, it's really important what we do with our money, because as you know, compound interest is essential for planning for retirement, and that's around the corner. And we think we're still young and stuff, but before we know it, we're gonna be right there. And like Calvin said, we don't have a lot of the pension plans and opportunities that the older generation and our parents had. Even a lot of our parents' generation rely on selling their homes for their retirement plan, and that was a very feasible option. Nowadays, a lot of millennials may never have a chance to purchase a home, unfortunately, and that is also not going to be an option anymore for everybody.
So you got to find a way to make
So,
that money work for you in other ways.
yeah. So you know, it's funny what Hillary says, but I think after the break, we'll talk about some points for millennials to consider as they move into their, again, I don't want to say golden years, but old years.
Awesome. We're glowing up here on Your Life, Your Money. I'm Chris Creston, joined by Kelvin the Money Guy and Hillary McLean. Stay tuned. We're going to continue talking to the millennials and those who love them. Don't forget to visit Kelvin's website, askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. Click on the schedule a call link, book a time and date of your choosing when you can sit down and chat with Kelvin. Or if you prefer the old-fashioned way, pick up the phone and go 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Stay tuned for a whole lot more of Your Life, Your Money with Kelvin the Money Guy as we continue on 640 Toronto. And welcome back to Your Life, Your Money with Kelvin the Money Guy. I am Chris Creston, and I'm joined as always by Kelvin the Money Guy. Don't forget to visit his website, askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca, or give him a call at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. And today we've been talking about the changing investment landscape for the millennials in the audience. I know, listen, I find myself an elder millennial with a mortgage and kids. And one of the things that my wife and I did this year was go and set up an RESP for our kids. And, you know, they're only 2.5, so it's thinking ahead a little bit. But Kelvin, do you think I'm jumping the gun a little bit getting the kids' investments started? Or when do people tend to start, you know, bringing their kids into the investment world?
Well, you should as soon as you can, if money affords, you should, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It can be $50 a month because it's time and money. We always talk about these shows about you need a lot of time or a lot of money. So if you're young, you have a lot of time and a little bit of money. If you're older, you need more money because you don't have the time to do it. So yeah, I would encourage anybody that's, you know, if you can save money, save some money, but don't live without having, you know, a good time as well, like save for the rainy day. So some of the things millennials should consider is identify short and long-term financial goals. So for example, some individuals, you know, the process of goal setting and then planning for those goals from a financial standpoint may feel like overwhelming. I'm throwing my hands up in the air. I can't do this. I don't want to do it, right? So you need to shift their mindset into more of a short and long-term. Remember, if I started saving money and I want to save it over the next, you know, 30 years when I'm 70 or whatever, well, it's a long ways away. So I always say set some short-term goals because if you can accomplish those, you're certainly going to accomplish the long-term ones. So those are the kind of things that I think millennials want to think about. And again, creating a structure of saving plans. Like, you know, have some type of structure in mind. So it is crucial to understand the value and importance of developing a saving plan. One highly effective approach to consider for saving is determine a specific amount to set aside on a regular basis. The old saying is take 10% of your income and stash it away. Now, I realize in today's world that that's kind of most people can't because of the, like Hillary said, the price of gas and food and. And actually, what really bugs me about the price of food is lettuce. My dogs love lettuce. So pricey. So, you know, I think we need to develop some type of structured saving plan so that, you know, we don't feel like all we're doing is saving money. We still have control of what we're doing and enjoying today's life. So I think structure, like everything else with money, is more important because you need to do those kind of things. And, you know, and building like a spending plan as well, not just saving, but a spending plan, you know, and adhering to it as well. So
So further to establishing and using a budget, which itself should be a component of your overall plan, it is important to develop realistic spending plans. Some people want to save all this money because they want to buy a house in next year. Well, maybe that's unrealistic for next year. Maybe it's for the next few years. So kind of, align your short-term and your long-term goals. Make sure they coincide with each other. In this sense, an appropriate spending plan functions as a helpful reminder of goals and objectives, right? So that's where I think your financial advisor and not a robo guy comes into play, because we can have that one-on-one conversation with you and really, tell you from the heart what you're going to do and really get a sense for what you're going to do as a person rather than some AI machine telling you what to do. And that's why I think they're finding such a big shift from millennials working with financial advisors rather than robo. It's a big dynamic shift, from what I'm seeing. And Hillary could probably attest to this with clients of mine that are in their 70s and 60s, and their kids are millennials, right?
Yeah, I should remind the audience, we've got Hillary McLean here. She's Kelvin's right hand, and she, you know what, you see all the clients that come in, you talk to everyone. You were mentioning in the break too that there's more people bringing in their kids, and it's not just me with my,
Yes.
2.5-year-olds bringing in, but older kids that are now, looking to get involved in investing.
Yeah, so we're very blessed that we're pretty much at three generations for some clients of investors, which is awesome because we do have some clients that have been with Kelvin for 30 years, so they've got their grandkids coming in and investing. But we're noticing lately, especially, I think also with the new investment account, the FHSA coming out, a lot of parents of millennial children who often are still at home are bringing in their children to speak with Kelvin to discuss setting up investment accounts. I think that they are also worried as well as parents, and they're realizing how hard it is being for them, and they're wanting their children to not have to go through hard times, and they're really pushing for them to speak with an advisor, which seems to be a little bit more of the old school way, because as millennials and younger, we love automation, we love technology. We could do everything from our phone. But in this case, like Kelvin said, there's certain life events and little nuances that a robo advisor or an algorithm is not going to be able to assist you with. So, it's nice to have to pair a little bit of the old advice with some of the new technology. And speaking to that, how Kelvin mentioned about creating like a structured savings plan, one of the things that's really helpful for us millennials is to create automation within our paychecks that can go directly into our investment accounts, and then we can monitor it online on our apps. So you can definitely pair some of the old school financial advisor of our parents' time with new technology.
Right. So if you're going with a real flesh and blood advisor like Kelvin, you're not abandoning the connectivity. You're just adding in the experience and the know-how and the years of knowledge that that Kelvin or your advisor has.
Exactly. And a lot of them, with them being parents, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. We all say, oh, what do our parents know? But really, they've lived their lives and done very well for themselves, and they do have a lot of information to share. And a lot of that is go to professionals when you need advice for things. And I think now, especially with things being very challenging, it's super important to speak to a professional about your money, for sure.
So yeah, after the break, we can go on about some of the other things that millennials need to know or consider as they can move into the future.
More knowledge for the millennial investor as we continue here on Your Life, Your Money. Don't forget to write this number down, 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Put it in your phone or go to the website askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. Click on the schedule a call link and book the time and date when you want to sit down and have a conversation with Kelvin. A whole lot more of Your Life, Your Money continuing on 640 Toronto. Welcome back to Your Life, Your Money here on 640 Toronto. Thank you so much for making us part of your Sunday. Don't forget to visit Kelvin's website, askkelvin.ca. That's ask, KELVIN.ca. And put this number on your phone and keep it handy for when you feel like you need to call Kelvin and chat about your finances, about your money, about getting some advice on where you're headed. 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. And Kelvin, we've been talking to the millennial investors today, talking about, you know, putting down that robo-advisor and talking to a human. And that's what the reports are telling us. More millennial investors are getting advice from real people now more than they used to be. And part of the reason is just life is getting more real. You know, as you, millennials are becoming, you know, we used to be the young whippersnappers, but now we're the age of majority, and more millennials out there than any other current generation. And things matter. Mortgages, families, retirement, it's all on the horizon or happening to us right now. So we got to take a lot more into account. And that's when you start calling up Kelvin the Money Guy or a real, you know, other real human advisors.
And one thing we didn't mention in all these goals is you guys are going back to old record players.
Yes, that's right. And do you know how much records cost? They're not picking up some like $7 piece of vinyl. Partially, if I can digress, it's because the records are made a little bit better now than they were in the 70s and 80s. You're getting a thicker piece of plastic on there, but I digress.
Yeah, and to go back to the point of a saving plan, you know, the idea behind putting 10% of your money away and not seeing it is the overall thinking behind that type of approach is if you don't see it, you don't spend it, you don't miss it. Mm-hmm. And one day when you look, you go, oh my God, I have all this money. So that's one thing that I think we got away from, and we should maybe get back into that if you can, right? If you have to wait till interest rates stuff come back down, sure, wait. But then get into that. Another thing I find is understanding various forms of debt, as well as considerations for paying down debt versus investing. So this topic, many individuals struggle with, as common thinking is that pay off the debt should always be the priority. So some questions, should I pay off my mortgage or let my mortgage run and save my money? So the main point to recognize, however, is that not all debt is created equally. So individuals need to know what type of debt they have and then look at the interest rates and see what they do. So for example, if you have credit card debts that are at 9%, maybe call the credit card and become a client of theirs and on balance transfer at zero. Now you can chop down your payment in half, take the payments, put it in the TFSA and save your money. When it goes back to 18%, take the money and pay down the credit cards. So look at things, you know, look at tax deductible debt. For example, borrow money. If you borrow money to invest and it's not for everyone, the interest is tax deductible. So those are good debt. So have a look at where you're paying and which debt should you pay off first, if you have any. Many of us do have debt. So how do I pay it off? Sit down with your advisor and we will help you to think outside the box on how to do things properly and develop a basic knowledge of investment options. A long time ago in our parents' days, RSPs was the way to go. Now we're finding maybe that wasn't the way to go because I got to pay all the money back. Nowadays, we have the TFSA, the tax-free savings account that was started in 2009. You can put lots of money in there. We still have the old guy, the RSP. And now we have the new FHSA, which a lot of people don't know. Hillary, maybe explain that a little bit, as that's your millennial thing.
So the FHSA is the newest investment account. And again, it has a very misleading name, calling it a first-time home savings account. It's actually an investing account. So the way that it works is you can invest up to $40,000. That's the maximum you're allowed. And every year you can put in $8,000. So we're recommending people to open it up as soon as possible, because from the first year that you open it up, you're allowed to put in your $8,000 contribution. And if you don't, it carries over to the next year. So it's a super helpful account for our generation, especially because it acts like a hybrid of a TFSA and an RSP, in the sense that all the growth is sheltered from tax, but you also get tax write-offs from the same way that an RSP would. So it's very, very helpful for those that are looking to purchase a home down the road. And if something happens and you end up not going down that road and purchasing a home, we can always roll it into your RSP and it does not take away from contribution room.
There's so much that you can think of that isn't necessarily, you know, what you would get from the bank commercials and things like that, because there are these options out here, and it, I think it took about a decade for people to wrap their heads around a TFSA. So for the first time home buyers plan, it's going to probably take that much time again.
Yeah, and the banks don't do a, not to knock on banks, but they don't do a really good job explaining what these things are. Again, the robo, never going to tell you what that is, because I don't think he knows, right? So I think the, like I say, 40% of millennials are turning to advisors, while only 7% are going to the automated advice. And you really don't save any money, you know, regardless of what the commercials tell you. Because always remember, returns are always net of fees. And we as the human advisor, well, we go beyond buying a stock. We look at your tax planning. We look at longevity for you. We look at your life insurance, your critical illness, your RESPs. So, you know, this AI stuff, is it tells you what you want. So I would say, you know, give us a call, go on my website, give us, you know, ask a question and sit down with your advisor, give us a call and, you know, put pen to paper and move on.
And start your plan. And that is the number, 416-457-PLAN. That's 416-457-7526. And the website is askkelvin.ca. That's ask KELVIN.ca. Thank you to Kelvin, the money guy. Thank you to Hillary McLean. And thank you for making us part of your Sunday. Again, 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN or askkelvin.ca. Stay tuned to 640 Toronto.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.